Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for building, Lord, a culture of honor in our hearts. We give ourselves to you. Thank you, too, Lord, for your presence this morning, healing for those who needed healing. I thank you, Lord, that the devil faces a runaway every time, or he has a runaway every time he faces praise from our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to continue our series this morning on pathways to partnership as the Lord is building a culture of honor in our hearts. Everybody say in our hearts. Despite being surrounded by a culture that's addicted to dishonor. There's a lot of dishonor, deception, and strife going on in our country. I mentioned before where there's no honor, there's no dignity, valuing of people and people's opinions. When we lack that, in a culture, then fear enters. And when people are afraid, people start grasping for control. And when people start grasping for control, you get strife and all kinds of things. And James 3:16 says, where there's strife and self-seeking, there's every evil present. So the Lord gave us five core tenets to begin this year. Little did we know, he knew, but little did we know what we would be confronting in the culture that we're currently dealing with here in the United States, and probably it's likely we'll deal with it till, you know, through to the election. And possibly beyond. The running joke is, I can't wait for November when COVID will go away. But hey, that's what man jockeys for. Power, what he thinks is power. It's only power if he's carnal, if man is carnal, that's the only power he knows and can see. But how many of you know all authority in heaven and in earth belongs to Jesus Christ? And now, because Christ is in you, that authority and power has been given to you. And so we're not those. May it never be said that Christ followers, people who love Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, are as cruel and condescending as this world is. May it never be said about us that we resort to cruelty, mudslinging, dishonor. Come on, amen. Amen. So five core tenets that he gave us for 2020. He said, to build a culture of honor, you're going to need honor. You're going to need humility. I believe humility precedes honor. Isn't that what you wrote on the mirror, honey? So she wrote it on your mirror or mine at home? She wrote some scriptures, I think, on mine, but on hers, hers says humility precedes honor. We're trying to really cultivate in our home honor for one another and humility in how we treat each other, how we treat our children. We're cultivating. I mean, you know, the atmosphere of your home is up to you. It's not, you can ask God to do it all day long. He's asking you to do it. What are you cultivating within your home? So honor and humility. And Stacy and I will be married 28 years, August 29th. Amen. And believe it or not, it hadn't always been easy. It hadn't always. Marriage can be very challenging. And here we are, 28 years in, and what are we working on? What are we cultivating? Honoring each other and humility towards each other. Encourage you to do the same, or, you know, be led of the Lord. Let me say that. Be led of the Lord in what you need to cultivate in your home. So honor, humility, trust, the unity of the Spirit, and then hearts for reconciliation. When there's bumps in the road, move towards reconciliation. And who should go first? I like that, me. I was going to say whoever's more mature, whoever's more spiritual can go first. Look at this passage. This is 1 Peter 2. Actually, it's just verse 17, just 17. Honor a few people. Honor the people that believe like you. It's so interesting that I really don't have time for this, but how many of you are aware there's been a huge human trafficking and sex trafficking issue in our country? Perhaps among political elites, Hollywood elites. Well, we know that for sure. That's already been uncovered. Isn't it interesting how the news never gives us anything that would unify us as a nation? This sex trafficking issue is a unification issue. I don't know many Americans that are all in about the abuse, mistreatment of children. But we don't hear anything about that. All we get is mask, no mask. We get, COVID or no COVID, Trump or Obama or Biden, and just pay attention to what's going on. And as I've said, I encourage you, you need to be feeding on the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ way more than you're watching news, because you're not getting news, you're getting propaganda, you're getting somebody's platform. And they're all playing the game. But anyway, I digress. Honor all people, even if they don't believe like you. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And then honor those in authority. Honor those in authority. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be fake. All right. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to each other with brotherly love. Now look at this. In honor, give preference to one another. Prefer one another. Amen. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Isn't that good? It's just a good word of God. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. Be given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. So the word prefer here, when he says prefer one another, are you ready for this? It means to go ahead of, go before, lead the way in, set the example in. So if you're going to prefer somebody in honor, then the Lord's saying, go first. Go first. Lead the way in honor. So he's writing to the Christians here at Rome, and in demonstrating respect, in demonstrating honor, they were to purpose to excel in it. The connotation of Scripture here is literally they were trying to outdo each other in giving honor rather than obtaining it. Amen. They're trying to outdo each other in showing respect, not trying to get respect. So they purposed to excel in it. They were not trying to see who obtained the most honor, but who could confer the most honor on others. Paul is saying, hey, I want you to model this in all life relations. All the different aspects of life. How about children towards parents? You young people, if you're going to prefer in the way of honor, go first. I want you to be the one that would say, I want to show my friends what it is to honor adults. I want to lead the way in honoring the teacher in the classroom. Boy, I can't get any help in here. I'm talking to young people, parents. I'm not even talking to you yet. I'm saying that this instruction, how many of you know there's no junior Holy Ghost? If you're born again, I don't care if you're 12 years old, lead the way in preferring others. Lead the way, set the example to your friends of what it is to honor authority. Amen. Can you be 12, 13 years old and be a follower of Jesus? Absolutely you can. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12, passion. Don't be intimidated by those who are older than you. He's talking about young people here. Simply be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in what? All that you do. Speak the truth. Live a life of purity, young people. Live a life of authentic love as you remain strong in your faith. So until I come, be diligent in devouring the Word of God. Be faithful in prayer and in teaching other believers. Don't minimize the powerful gift that operates in you, for it was imparted to you by the laying on of hands of elders, was activated through prophecy. Verse 15, make all of this your constant meditation. Make it real with your life so everyone can see that you're moving forward, that you're growing in Christ. Verse 16, give careful attention to your spiritual life and every cherished truth you teach, for living what you preach will then release even more abundant life inside you and to all those who listen to you. Amen. It's a good word. How about parents? You think Paul's including parents here? That when we say prefer one another in honor, parents should lead the way in showing honor to their children. Parents should lead the way in showing honor to those in authority. Parents should lead the way in showing honor to whoever their boss is. Amen. Godly authority. We prefer, we set the example, we lead the way. You know, many times when we look at our employee situation, people are like, well, I tell you, my boss needs to give me more respect. That may be true, but Paul's not saying that here. He's saying, I want you to lead the way in demonstrating honor towards those in authority. So how different this is from the spirit that's in the world, which seeks its own honor, not seeks to confer honor, seeks to obtain honor rather than to give it. If this single change were made in our culture today, it would put an end to all the jealousy, the envy, the selfish ambition, backbiting, gossip, running others down. It's not honoring when we talk bad about people behind their back. It's not honoring. My prayer is that our children learn from us as adults and as married couples what it is to honor your spouse. We don't run in and dishonor the other spouse's authority in front of the children. All right. Amen. We're going to lead the way in showing respect. And what's our tendency? Well, she's not respecting me. Then show respect. She's not honoring me. Well, then honor her. Maybe she's lacking some. Give her some. Lead the way. Prefer your family. Set the example. We live in a culture. You've got to flee this mindset. And it's easy to get sucked into it. But it's this culture that is addicted to finding things to be offended by. That's addicted to finding ways of injustice. You didn't treat me right. And we've become, well, we probably already were carnal. This is just revealing how carnal we are. We're not to be deriving from the world and from other people how we're supposed to be treating them. We derive that from Christ. Christ is your vine. Not somebody else. What did he say? A new command I give you. I want you to love one another just like I love you. All he's saying is source. I want to be your source for how you love people. So when we love others who are being ugly, we're demonstrating the love that Christ has for us in that moment. Amen. So it would bring about a shift in our culture, put an end to the ugliness if we just start acting on this one word in honor, that we begin to prefer people and prefer one another, even those who don't believe like we believe. And as I said last week, if you're talking to somebody and they're like, well, I believe this is the political platform we need, this is what we need to do, and you're cringing on the inside. If we do that, it's gonna destroy our families, it's gonna destroy marriage, it's gonna destroy, you know, if it's bad for society, don't get angry, get compassionate. Because we have a common enemy, and it's deception. That person is not your enemy. Deception is our enemy. And unless you've never been deceived, you don't have any stones to throw at them. Unless your theology is perfect and pure as the wind-driven snow right now as we speak, how can you have no compassion for them? You don't even believe perfectly. So you landed on the right side of the argument this time. Yay, way to go. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have? What do you perceive that God didn't grace you to perceive? So you can't go around acting as though you got it independently of God. So humility, which is that whole rant I just gave you in love, is laced with humility, and humility precedes honor. Because everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Including that person that maybe their political views are just whack. I dare say yours haven't always been perfect. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Build that bridge. Buy them lunch. Serve them. Prefer them. Get a relationship where you can speak some life to them. Amen. Come on, Holy Ghost. Each day, what are we going to do? We're not going to look to receive honor. We're going to look to give it every day. Everybody say every day. How can we do this? Because it's a posture of faith. The Lord is our shepherd. We don't lack for honor. We are full of honor. We are full of love. We are full of preference. Remember, our hands are full. Our Father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. We are not buying into the lie of lack. I don't need you to honor me. I'm already honored in Christ. Amen. I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. How much honor do you need? Just get it from the Lord instead of from other people, because then that's creating a deficit. Well, you owe me. You owe me an apology. No, they don't. Forgive, as Christ has already forgiven you. You're already forgiven. Why are you holding things over people's heads? Forgive. See, forgive because you're forgiven. It's not like you don't have any forgiveness to give. You know what the beauty of the new covenant is? Let's say this is forgiveness. I'm Jesus. This is Robert. Robert, I do want you to forgive. And there is all the forgiveness you need to do it. He doesn't say, Robert, get out there and forgive. You can do it. Robert, what's wrong with you? Forgiveness is divine. It comes from the very spirit and nature of God. So we can't do it without God. So he gives it to you. The power and the authority to walk out obedience and forgiveness, he gives you on the front end. You don't even have to obey to get it. You just got to humble yourself and say, I need it. Woo! Come on, give God praise in this house. Think about that. You humble yourself, he gives you grace. Then you receive the grace and power to walk out your obedience. Then when you do, you see the glory of God fall in your life. You see the kingdom of God manifesting, his authority. Amen? I love that. Don't ever say, I don't have the power to obey. I don't have the power to walk that out, Lord. Well, you don't in and of yourself. But if you humble yourself, he will give you the grace and power to be obedient. Then it's still your choice. Amen. Man, I got off track. Let me see where I was. Yeah, the Lord is our shepherd. We don't lack for honor. He will see to it that you have all the honor you need so you don't go out looking for it. Did you know the moment you set out to go get honor, you just told yourself you don't have any? The moment you set out to go get loved by God, you just told yourself you aren't loved by God? But are we loved by God? Are we preferred by Him? Are we honored by Him? We are in Christ, absolutely. So a culture filled with honor would cast out all fear. When everybody who walks in these doors knows they're going to be honored. Do you know that when visitors and guests come to a church, they like to experience that somebody cares about them? That they have value, not that, hey, who are you and what are you doing here? You're not part of the club. How about this one? Hey, you're in my seat. My gosh. God forbid. If that ever happens, just give them a love tap in the back of the head. Whack. Guests are answered prayer. They're not in your seat. It's sad we even have to talk about these things in church, but it happens. Not here, amen, but it does happen. So a culture of honor, if we all felt honored and respected here, there would be no fear in the atmosphere, none. And in Mark 6, a culture of honor produces faith, which produces miracles. Mark 6, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town. Because of the familiarity, because everybody knew him after the flesh. Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? If we sit around and know each other after the flesh, we don't cultivate an atmosphere of honor. And if we don't have an atmosphere of honor, we're not going to see the miraculous. But when we honor Jesus, and we honor the gifts and calls in each other, not knowing each other after the flesh, but by the Spirit, then we'll see the miraculous. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Dishonor begets unbelief. Our nation is full of unbelief right now, and dishonor has brought it. But a culture of honor begets faith, and faith is the breeding ground for the supernatural. Amen. So it casts out all fear. It produces contentment and harmony and love and proper order. Crime would go down. Malice would go down. Strife would go down in a culture of honor. It's almost like demonic powers that be try to stir strife in our nation so that crime does go up and violence does go up and fear does go up. Who is that coming from? The enemy. Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, who reproduces in death and decay. He reproduces himself there. That's what this war is over. Is who's going to have the expression through the one God gave dominion in the earth? You and me. He gave it to us. Lucifer wants to have his selfish death, decay expression through us every bit as much as the Lord wants to manifest himself in righteousness, peace, and joy through us. That's what the war is over. So don't be ignorant of what's going on. And I beg you on behalf of Christ, if you are piping in television and media on a regular basis, I beg you to cease that. I beg you to sit with the Lord instead. I told you last week, I'll turn the news back on as soon as somebody behind that desk opens scripture and says, I believe this is the word of the Lord to us. Otherwise, what am I getting? I'm getting a secular worldview. I'm just getting an unregenerate man telling me his, whoever lined his pockets with money, what the platform is. What if the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son had demonstrated honor to his father and his younger brother? You remember the story? The younger brother went out, spent all the inheritance on loose living. So he got one third because he's a younger brother. The older brother had two thirds of the inheritance. He comes back. Dad throws a party. Guess whose calf they killed to throw the party? The older brother. It was his calf. You ever get mad because somebody else is getting blessed with something that you thought was yours? So that's what's happening. And he dishonors his father's decision to throw a party because the brother was dead and is now alive and he was lost and now found. He dishonors the decision. He won't even go to the party, so he's dishonoring his younger brother too. How different that story would have been had he entered in and celebrated. And even if he thought, let's say his concern was, that he was enabling, the father was enabling his younger brother, and he might just go do it again. Even if he thought that, go enjoy the party, go honor your father, and go honor your brother, because it's true, he was dead, now he's alive. And if you want to talk to your dad privately, do so the next day. Fair enough? The older brother does well in representing the current culture of the United States that says, I'm important and you're not. I should be treated better. Can anybody treat you better than Jesus has treated you? No, nobody can treat you better than he's already treated you. Why are you trying to suck life out of all these dead people? Two ticks and no dog. That is right. Why are the Christians trying to suck life out of all the dead people? Why do you expect so much from them? Christ is your life. Christ is your source. And he's treated you well. So every day you get out of that car and you go into Walmart or work or school or whatever, remember, you are so well treated. Amen. May it never be said that Christians are just as cruel and condescending as the world is. In our culture, politics has hijacked the people in the pews. Yeah. Amen. Not everybody, of course. What am I saying? I'm saying if the church isn't careful, we move our mission towards a certain political candidate or political party instead of the mission of transforming lives by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Do we vote? Yes. Do we pray about elections? Yes. Are we concerned about the country and its direction? Yes. But do we allow the mission of Christ to be hijacked so we can promote political platforms as the answer to what ails this country? God forbid. My hope is not in the Republicans or the Democrats. My hope is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the advancement of His kingdom in the hearts of a human being. I don't care what political platform it is. It can't change the heart of a human being. And that's where America is broken, on the inside. We need the gospel to bring about the change we want to see. That's where real hope and real power is. It's in the gospel. Everybody say it's in the gospel. That's our mission. And let's don't be moved off of Christ's mission, His kingdom. Let's let our allegiance be first and foremost to Him. Amen. Always remember, you can be totally right in your opinion and totally wrong in your heart and your attitude towards that person. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh, how do they do it? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. I get concerned at times that many born-again Christians, especially in election years, start setting their minds on natural things, on the things of the flesh. What about the rest of Romans 8, 5? Those who live according to the Spirit do so how? They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We need to pray. We need to be aware. But we don't need to be championing some political mission. We ought to be championing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that can change the heart of a human being. Even if they vote the right way in November and then go straight to hell, did we do anything? What could intentional honor do in our churches and in the body of Christ? What if we set our hearts on honor, humility, trust, unity, and reconciliation? If we did that in our churches, I'll tell you what would happen. It would humble the ambitious. Amen. And that's needed. Humble the ambitious within our churches who, like Diotrephes in 3 John chapter 1, verse 9, loves the place of preeminence. Diotrephes in the church, he wanted all the credit. He wanted all the honor. He sought it for himself. He wanted the place of preeminence. He wasn't there to prefer others. He wasn't there to honor others. He wasn't there to rejoice in the promotion and elevation of other gifts. He wanted it for himself. But yet in a culture of honor, everybody has a seat at the table. Everybody is welcome in the Father's house, and everybody has value, and everybody's worthy of honor. Woo! Now that sounds like a Christian culture I want to be part of. Amen. That everybody matters. Everybody's got a seat at the table. Abraham generation, you betcha. Isaac generation, yes. Jacob, yes. We all have a seat at the table. We need to hear what Jacob has to say. We need their energy. Amen. But we need Abraham too. We do. We need the Abraham generation at the table. Wisdom. Experience. Those kind of things. So if we had that within our church circles, it would make everyone willing to occupy the place which God has designed for them. And we would rejoice in our brothers and sisters garnering more responsibility or more ministry. Does that make sense to you? It would cause all fear and competition and jockeying for preeminent position. It would kill all that in a culture of honor, and there would come great celebration for one another's gifts and success in Christ, knowing that it all belongs to Him. Anything good that comes out of me or Robert or Donna is Him. It's Him. I was reminded this week of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, New Living Translation. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service and ministry, but we all serve the same Lord. Whether you're First Impressions or children's ministry, or maybe you have a discipleship group in your home, maybe you're walking with other people, you lead a discovery group, or you attend one. There's different kinds of ministry, but we all serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Who's doing the work? He is. Why would we boast about it? Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? Help each other. This is a culture of honor. This is what the Lord desires. Look at verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Wow, are you kidding me? I thought somebody went to the gift store and said, I'll take miracles. Right? I thought somebody went to the gift store and said, yeah, I picked out the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Whatever gift you have, the Lord gave it to you. And maybe somebody has the gift of miracles. And please pray for them, for their humility and dependence upon Christ. I really believe that the more we see the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, then we'll see more manifestation of the power gifts of the Spirit. Because it wouldn't be love for God to allow us to operate in those gifts, create some great big platform, and then our character can't keep us where our gift has taken us. And we plummet to ruin. That wouldn't be the love of the Father, would it? Don't give the car keys to your 7-year-old. It's not love. Amen? So I think as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we grow in the character of Christ, the pattern of living, Jesus taught us humility and dependence, then we'll see the power. But I love that. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And you'd be like, man, I want to sing like Jeremy. I want to be like Gavin. No, be you. The Lord has designated them for that. He's designated something just for you. Celebrate it. Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. Everybody say, we're all one body. Amen. Amen. So we need to have honor for each other. You know, if Patty Phillips comes and prays for me, guess who it is praying for me? Jesus in Patty is praying for me. We need to have honor for each other. Well, I want Brother Steve to come to the hospital. No, you don't. The same Jesus that's in me is in Patty or Rick Astorga or anybody else. Let me tell you who you want praying for you. Whosoever the Lord sends to you, that's who you want praying for you. Woo! Amen. Have respect for the different gifts and offices that are all around you. We're all the body of Christ. I get to do what I do because I like to talk. That's the best I can tell you. But it's funny because I've told you the story in college. I was mortified of public speaking. I went to college for a tourism degree. Did you know that? I have a Bachelor of Business Administration in Tourism Management. So what that means is I could get a job being a hotel manager. Because I like to meet new people. Hey, welcome to Motel 6. Right? We're so glad to have you. But guess what? The Lord had other plans. Because it was in college that Jesus came into my room when I was beating myself up for sinning for the 500th time in a row, the same sin. And he said, Steve, I don't love you because of what you do or don't do. I love you because of who I am. And he said, I want you to walk out of this room today and live the rest of your life from my love as source and not for it. Because when you try to get me to love you, you're in unbelief because I already do. And that changed my life. I was 20 years old. I'll be 50 September 18th. We should totally have a big party. We should have a big party. 50. With a lot of pizza. Yeah, and Snickers. And homemade ice cream. Oreo ice cream. But anyway, I did graduate. I played college baseball. I graduated from Northeastern State University in Tahlequah with a degree in tourism. I went to work at the State Department of Tourism in Oklahoma City. Then I got a higher paying job at an aviation company. I was doing managing of finance. And then I became miserable. I was miserable. I was like, man, there's something in me. Like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. So I applied for a job at a church to work in the business office because I had a business degree. And Pastor Burchett at Life Christian Center, where I was going at the time and was an elder, even though I was 24 years old, I was an elder. And he said, we don't want you to be in the business office. We want you to be the outreach pastor. you know, where you meet people on behalf of the church. Just like that, I took a test, an ordination test. That's how I got ordained. I've never been to seminary. I overcame my fear of public speaking. I think that first night I shared, I stood on the pews, did I not? Do you remember? Diane, you reminds me of that sometimes. Yeah. So I was quite the fireball. I was excited. But the Lord gifted me. He put something in me that when I would participate with it, I would shine. That it resonated with me. So I love to share truth, whether it's here on Sunday morning. How about Facebook? I love writing books. Anytime I can communicate truth that God loves you and that you're worth more than what you've been told, you can do more than you think you could, I have just a gift of exhortation and encouragement. And I had to learn it. I failed, so I still fail, but I don't fail as much. But I failed so many times as a young person. But I learned that He was faithful to me even if I wasn't. And so I lived to tell. I lived to tell that story. But we need to have honor and respect for all the gifts. Some are seen, some aren't. Amen? And yet Paul said we should really honor the hidden ones even more. He did. If each of our lives had double the honor we have now, think about this. Today, make a goal. You can sit with the Lord on it. But what if you made a goal that between you and your spouse, you started walking in double the honor towards each other that you're walking in right now? Same with your children. I want to walk in double the honor towards my kids. Double the honor between you and your coworkers. Double the honor between you and your classmates. If we do that, we're going to have way less strife, way less fear. How about between other churches and Christ followers? Let's walk in double the honor towards other churches, other ministries, and so forth. You say, well, Brother Steve, what's some good ways to bestow honor? Are you ready? Value. Communicate value to people. How about this one? Give them the benefit of the doubt. Just lead with that. If I hear you right, let me tell you what I hear you saying. Rather than just come down on them, give them the benefit of the doubt. Kindness is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. So put yourself in their shoes. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, only the Lord knows all the ingredients that went into that cake that person threw in your face. Think about that. He was there when they were a child. He was there through their upbringing. He was there through abuse, whatever it may be. There's a lot of ingredients that go into a cake that someone hurls at someone else. And the Lord only knows what all those ingredients are. Kindness is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. How about this? Are you ready? Listen. Listen to people. Hear what they have to say. I always like to say, try to understand before seeking to be understood. You'll have your time to share, but try to understand first. Wouldn't it be awesome in this country if we were slow to speak and quick to listen? Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I wonder if our prayers get hindered because of dishonor. What if, you know, a husband and a wife praying together is a powerful agreement. Probably the most powerful agreement there is on the planet. And yet if we have dishonor in our marriage relationship, according to Peter here, it hinders our prayers. So we want to sow honor. One other one. One anothering, if I can get there to it. How do we one another each other in honor? And I want you to do this, you know, at home. You can do it in your discovery group. You can do it with the people you walk with, your discipleship group, whatever it is. We share our lives with one another. We fight for one another's freedom. Woo, isn't that better than we fight each other at home? We fight for one another's freedom. We listen to the Lord in one another. We encourage one another to live connected to Jesus. We intentionally invest in one another. We affirm Christ in one another. In other words, when you hear them say something that's godly and true and pure and awesome, we affirm Christ. That's Christ in you. I hear the Lord in that. And then the next one, we prefer and we serve one another. Gavin, you and Jeremy can come. I got the last one here for you, Mark chapter 6. And let me say this about one anothering. Those are all spirit born. They're all born of the Spirit. Live connected to the Spirit. If you don't understand spiritual things, and what I mean is you're just totally in the dark, you need to get born again. A whole lot of the world can read the Bible and say, I believe in God. 1 Corinthians 2 says that the things of the Spirit are only discerned by the Spirit. If this all seems weird and cloudy and all that, don't be afraid. Get born again. Because no one knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Stacy will tell you in her closet 18 months ago when the Spirit of Christ blew into that room and hugged her and filled her and lifed her, she has a hunger for spiritual things now. And she'll tell you before that day she didn't. It was all just Charlie Brown teacher. With the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit, church. It's not enough to believe He died for you. The demons know that. You must be regenerated. The Spirit of God comes in. Jesus said when He comes in, He will teach you all things. The Spirit is where we hunger. Amen. All right, Mark 6, last one. I mentioned it earlier. Jesus went out from there and came to His own country. His disciples followed Him, and when the Sabbath came, He began to teach. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, literally they were offended, saying, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this, that such mighty works are performed by His hands? They're like, how can this be? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joses, Judas, Simon, not sisters here with us? So they were offended at Him. Who do you think you are? That's what they're saying. We know who you are. Did they know Him by the Spirit? They knew Him by the flesh. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And He could do no mighty work there, except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. You know, I studied this out. The most of what I can find is they didn't even ask Him for healing, because they didn't believe He was who He said He was. Does that make sense? It's not like they all lined up for healing and He couldn't heal anybody because they were so full of unbelief. No, they're so full of unbelief, they didn't even turn out to be healed. All right. So a few did, and He healed them. Verse 6, and He marveled because of their unbelief. What was their unbelief rooted in? Dishonor. A carnal, natural mindset. The best thing you can do for each other is start knowing each other by the Spirit. Encouraging each other by the Spirit. Honoring each other that way. And then He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Stand with me. Will you join with me in cultivating? And this is a directive from the Lord. A culture of honor among us as saints of the Most High God. And not just here. Amen. But in our homes. Our families. Our marriages. Let's cultivate a culture of honor. Honor produces faith. Faith is a gateway to the supernatural. Dishonor produces unbelief and hinders the work of Christ. Are you with me? Can we do it? Well, Father, I thank You this morning for the good Word of God. And I want to say this. If you're here and you've never been born again of the Spirit, you would say, Brother Steve, it's all just foreign to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I want to be born again. I want the Spirit introduced to my spirit so He can teach me and I can begin to grow in Christ. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Anyone, I want to be born of the Spirit.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.